In the period before the ascension of the fourth patriarch, the tradition was for Chan practitioners to live as well as cultivate in individual huts by the hillside or mountain precipice. The fourth patriarch instituted a change when he decided to build a monastery at the foot of Twin Peaks, gathering together several hundred of his followers to stay there for Chan cultivation. This marked the modification in paradigm of Chan cultivation from individual practice to group practice, which was favorable for the school's development with regard to team spirit and management. It must be remembered that Huang Mei at the time was relatively backward and in lack of resources. Simply finding enough food to provide for several hundred people posed a major problem for the fourth patriarch. Ever since Buddhism arrived in China, the monastic community was slighted by Confucians for not being productive. The monks have to eat, and yet they do not produce any food. They have to wear robes, and yet they do not spin their own cloth. This was an economic concern, and one of the reasons why social friction related to Buddhism sometimes occurred. China was mainly an agricultural country that did not respect mendicants who went from door to door for alms. Who would respect a beggar? Unlike in India, where those who begged for food were honored for their endurance of hardship in spiritual cultivation, those who begged in China were considered to be lazy bums who relied on others and not their own industry to survive. To solve this basic economic problem, the fourth patriarch made the important decision to start farming in the monastic community to provide for themselves, calling forth the whole Sangha to live up to the motto of, "If you don't work, don't eat." By consistently producing enough food to sustain themselves, the community managed to survive and practice at the same time. Ever since then, their problem for daily needs was resolved. This can surely be considered a revolutionary movement in the history of Chinese Buddhism. It was due to the inspiration of the fourth patriarch's first monastery and his famous motto that subsequent Chan masters Beizang and Meizu Duai further established the institution of forest monks. It is well known that Mazu built the forest monastic community. Beizang established the pure code. Without such drastic reforms, the Chinese Chan school, and indeed Chinese Buddhism itself, would not have become what they are today. This was how Buddhism adapted to the Chinese environment. Without adopting a new way of monastic livelihood, Buddhism would probably have reached its demise at the time of Emperor Huizong's purge in the Tang Dynasty. It was only due to reforms of the Chan school to become a self-sustainable monastic community that Chinese Buddhism has survived to this day. This is a most solemn and significant part of history, and there are definitely lessons to be learned. From making reforms to provide for basic necessities of life, our monastic community has not only survived economically, but more importantly, managed to protect the Buddhist canon and continue with transmission of the Buddha's teaching. Buddhist reforms in China were initially to adapt to the Chinese culture and its social dimensions. Revolutionary changes are often necessary to overcome impending difficulties and crises. This is something that has always been on my mind. The contribution of the fourth patriarch to Chinese Buddhism in general, and the Chan school in particular, are not only in terms of Buddhist thought, but also its organization and economic aspects as an institution. Without the foundation laid by the fourth patriarch, there could well be no subsequent fifth and sixth patriarchs.